This is Confessions of a Pastor. A relentlessly real peek behind the scenes of Journey Church in Bend, Oregon. From church in a strip club to a strip mall, going where Jesus would go to reach people Jesus would reach. The good, the bad, and the ugly, all for the glory of God. A journey of misery and miracles. Your hosts are the founders, Pastor Keith and Kara. There really is hope for everyone.
Well, hey everyone, it is a new year. This is our first podcast of 2025. It's January 17th. I don't know if it's too late to say Happy New Year, but I'm going to do it anyways. Happy New Year. I think you could say it the whole month of January. It's a new year.
Okay, that's fair.
Remember back in the day when people used to write checks and they'd be like, oh, I keep messing up the date and say the previous year.
Right.
We don't say that anymore.
Yeah.
It's like the whole world has taken over and it tells us it's a new year. But here we are, a new year. And I'll tell you, it's been a great start to a new year.
It has been.
There's so much that we have to share. And typically on this podcast, we like to share the good, the bad, the ugly, the behind the scenes of Journey Church. But right now, it seems like it's all good. I mean, there's so much happening. And there's a lot of, actually, there's a lot of bad things happening. But the good seems to be overwhelming the bad.
Well, I God is just on the move.
Come on.
So I think the good that you're talking about is the spiritual fruit that we're seeing. That's just, we just need to celebrate.
I think that's what I'm excited about.
Yes.
This, for me in ministry, I'm not sure I've ever had a start of a year like this.
Yeah.
Where I've witnessed God work in such tangible ways.
Yeah. So, like, okay. So
experiential ways.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Oh boy. I don't even know where to start.
Right.
But I would just say, like, I'm blown away with God already.
Yeah.
I mean, we could just start in a general thing. Let's go with the macro and then, like, work our way into the micro.
Yeah.
On the macro level, we have launched the theme for 2025 for Journey Church in Bend. And that is love like Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
That's our vision this year.
And I
love it. As you have shared, it's really anticlimactic because it sounds cliche, love like Jesus. It sounds fluffy. It sounds soft until you look at the life of Jesus.
Right.
It is profound.
Yeah, completely. That is when we first started praying into this theme and what 2025 was, you know, going to look like. And we came up with this. We really felt like it was God's direction.
Amen.
And that was what my first reaction was. Well, it does feel anticlimactic. However, it's not in any way, shape, or form. It's actually so profound.
Come on.
When you study the life of Jesus and study the way that he loved, it is something altogether different than what we understand as love.
Yes.
And so to actually, like, allow him to love us and then to try and love like him is... it's awesome.
And it's impossible without his help.
Right.
And without the power of the person of the Holy Spirit helping you. Jesus himself taught us just things that are impossible. Love your enemies.
Right.
Pray for those who persecute you. Absolutely wild stuff. He teaches us to love the least of these. He teaches us to go to places other people wouldn't go. And so I'm looking forward to this year. That's on a macro scale. We launched it with the 6 and 6 a few weeks ago with 6 preachers in 6 minutes. They did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
If you have not gone and watched the launch of this theme, Love Like Jesus, you have to go to YouTube, our podcast, somewhere and watch that video. So good in so many different ways. One of those I was so proud of was our future son-in-law.
Yeah.
Landon. He
did such
wrapped
a good
it
job.
Up. He's a ministry intern right now.
Yeah.
And he is slaying it.
Yeah.
He's crushing it. He's clearly called the ministry.
Yeah.
He's come into the church. He's working under the direction of our executive pastor of ministry. And one of two profound things that I was shocked by with him is, one is he opened up with the question, do you think we're underestimating Jesus?
Yeah.
And to me, it's like, okay, that question itself blows my mind away because we know the answer. Absolutely. There's so much more to Jesus. And then he shared how Jesus loved us like a boyfriend getting on his knee to a girlfriend and shifting that relationship, saying, I'm committed to you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to get down. I'm going to get in a humble position and ask you to be my love for the rest of our lives together. And he likened that to Jesus loving the bride and getting down, coming to this earth, humbling himself. To me, that was profound and
it
powerful.
It was. Yeah, I agree. And I think all of the preachers that day did a phenomenal job.
Absolutely.
Casting the vision for what love is.
Totally.
Which is obviously starting with allowing the love of God to fill us.
Amen.
And allowing to be loved by him properly.
Yes.
And I don't know. I'm super excited for this year. I think that
Amen.
We're already seeing fruit from,
come on,
from what we're going after.
I totally agree. And one of the common themes of those preachers was this love has no prejudice.
Yes.
This love actually reaches the worst of sinners.
Yeah.
This love reaches the addict or the brokenhearted, the wealthy, the poor. This love, if you're willing to accept it,
yeah,
will absolutely transform anyone.
Yeah.
And then you're called to love like him.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the challenge. I really think that it's a challenge when we, it's something, that's somewhat easy to read about, to understand intellectually,
right,
but actually to let it like transform your heart to actually love like Jesus,
come
to
on,
love the things that are the people that are unlovable to there. It's just so much. It's counterculture, mm-hmm, to what we know as, mm-hmm, love. And, but it's awesome.
Amen. Well, let's start bringing that from the big picture,
yes,
to, you know, bring that in. What does that look like? Well, this year, I feel like there's a resurgence of the vision of what we started this church for.
Mm.
We started this church for the unchurched. And already to start this year, I have witnessed salvations in a tangible way, like I
yes,
can't remember in a long time.
Yes.
Particularly young people.
Yes.
I mean, I have had them come up to me after the services. I mean, there've been a long line of people wanting to talk to me for the past several weeks at church. And I take the time after each service and try to go and talk to each person. And if they wait patiently, I want to hear what they have to say. And sometimes it's great stuff. Other times it's challenging stuff. And it's all over the place. Sometimes it's just prayer. But some of these that you've seen my heart catch on fire are these teenagers.
Yes.
It started at a pursuit night, the first one of the year, when I met two teenage girls,
mm,
who came on a pursuit night. That's our worship and prayer night. And they came and approached me after church, and they waited patiently to talk to me. And then they had the most genuine, heartfelt questions about how to grow in their faith. One of them asked, my dad and stepmom are going through divorce. How do I pray for them? I mean, it was genuine. Then they, mm-hmm, asked me about baptism coming up, and they both want to be baptized. They both just gave their lives to Jesus.
Yeah.
They both come from unchurched families that aren't going to church right now, but yet they're coming,
yes,
to worship and prayer nights. They're coming every single Sunday. In fact, they came to youth group for the first time, and it just lit my heart on fire.
Yeah.
That these girls are going to get baptized at the end of the month.
They are. And that's just one really small, I mean, not small, but it's one example of so much that God is doing right now.
Well, the next week I meet two young men who happen to be in high school as well. And they come to me regarding the same question about baptism. And here you got two young men who are totally unchurched, who they're telling me they're both joined us on the fasting and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
One of them just blew me away when he's like, man, my life was changing. He's telling me his story. He's like, for fasting and prayer, I give up cocaine and alcohol. I'm like, say what?
Right.
Did you just say what I thought you said? You know, and he told me his story. And about a month ago, he was wasted. He got drunk. He was high on cocaine, and he was groggy the next day, and he got woken up. And whoever it was that woke him up, I don't remember if it was a brother, a cousin, or who it was, they woke him up, and he was mad. He was mad because he was so hungover. And they said, you're coming to church with me. And he's like, he didn't want to go, but he came. And he has not missed a church service, mm, since then. Now he's given up those,
yeah,
vices in his life, and he wants to get baptized.
Yeah.
He told me he's not going to get baptized till he's fasted from these things for 21 days because he's not going back to them.
Yeah.
And, amen, then his buddy is giving up marijuana. And then I asked the kid who gave up cocaine and alcohol, I was like, are you giving up weed too? He's like, oh, no, I don't do marijuana. I'm like, I'm just shocked at these guys and what they're doing in their lives.
Yeah.
And he's telling me he's not only giving up that, he's giving up every bad thing in his life, and he was already starting to lose friends. And Kara, this just lit my heart on fire because, you know, I gave my life to Jesus as a teenager.
Yeah.
I went right into youth ministry practically right out of my own youth. I was only 20 years old when I started doing youth ministry, and my heart was to reach youth because my life was changed as a teenager. And here I feel like it's come full circle. And now I believe God has put a call on these young people. They're going to be the next youth pastors.
Yeah, amen.
And pastors and missionaries,
yeah,
and evangelists. We're going to see so much more than just giving their lives to Jesus.
Yeah.
We're going to see healing, deliverance, and we're going to see God light their hearts on fire.
Yeah.
So for me, that's been a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Witnessing the salvation starting off the new year. But it's more than that. We're witnessing the power of God work in so many different ways. I want to just have us dialogue regarding some, because so many of these stories that we're hearing, they don't have to do with us going out to do them.
Yeah.
Those stories are coming to us because the power and the presence of God is working throughout Central Oregon.
Yeah.
I mean, people are being healed. We just last night at Pursuit Night heard some powerful stories. You want to share?
Yeah. So I had actually I'll back up to last Sunday. So I had a gal come up and tell me, two people came up together. And the one, was just, they were both beaming, literally ear to ear, smiling, beaming, could not stop like smiling.
Wow.
And so, I was introduced to the one who was not familiar with church, really.
Okay.
She told me she wasn't raised in church. She has very little context for church and what that even means, really. And,
wow.
And so, what happened to her is that she was at her place of work, which is the giving plate, mm-hmm. and a gal comes in and I said, well, let me back up. She's at the place of work. She has a meniscus tear. Okay, so this is actually a physical healing.
Meniscus.
She has a torn meniscus.
Pretty big deal.
Yes.
Long, slow, arduous healing process.
Yeah, and so it's a bad injury. And so another gal walks in to the giving plate and...
A member of Journey Church.
A member of Journey Church. Thank you. I'm trying to protect names. I don't even know. But she walks in and literally she's coming off of... This is the story we heard last night, is that she had experienced healing at Handel's Ice Cream right before this happened.
Now, we've got to tell that story.
Yeah. So let's back up and tell the Handel story and then I'll tell the giving plate story.
Yes. So... She, the one that we're talking about that comes in and walks in and is going about to pray over the person with the torn meniscus, she had earlier that week.
No, that day.
That day?
It was the day. Yes.
Well, she was lifting a box and day.
Sorry, I meant the day, the same day was she experienced the healing.
Yes. It wasn't that day though that she got hurt or injured. So earlier, a few days earlier, she had picked up a box and she had, what's that called? Not a bulge disc, but a herniated disc.
Yeah.
She got a herniated disc. She went to the chiropractor. They confirmed you have a herniated disc. This is going to take a very, very, very long time to heal. You may actually need surgery about this. She had already had surgery right below where she had the herniated disc. And she was in such excruciating pain. She couldn't walk. She couldn't move. She couldn't lift anything. She had to lay on her back. But then she went to Handel's. I can't remember why she was going there. She was taking somebody.
She took someone with her that she's mentoring.
Yeah, so someone she's mentoring. She went to Handel's. She could barely walk. She was hobbling. She gave this example of person. She was hobbling like a penguin in excruciating pain. They walked into the ice cream place and it's empty. There's no one there. No one to help them. No workers. They waited, what, 2, 3, 4,
yeah,
5 minutes?
Yeah, a couple minutes.
And eventually a worker comes and she's all by herself and she's literally crunched over. Imagine who's that guy with the big the hunchback of Notre Dame. She's describing this lady walking with a limp, hunched over. A young person comes to the counter and asks if they can help them. Now, this gal who's got literally excruciating pain in her back says, "You look like you're in pain." And she says, "Oh, I am." And she explains huge pain in her stomach area.
She said she has arthritis.
Yes,
yeah.
Arthritis, and just pointed to the kind of the bowels area that just there was so much going on, arthritis. And so she asked her, "Can I pray for you?" So here's someone who's got a herniated disc, who's in pain herself, saying, "Matt, pray for you." And the gal says, the ice cream worker says, "Yes, you can pray for me." So she starts praying over her. And as she's praying over her, we never heard if she was healed.
No, I think she was. That was what I had heard earlier.
Okay. So as she's praying for her, she realizes she's healed.
Yeah, her back.
That back pain that she had for days where she couldn't move, she was in such excruciating chronic pain, everything hurt in her, it was gone. So she starts testing. She finishes the prayer and she's jumping and twisting and moving and realizes she's healed.
Right.
So the same day, they leave the ice cream place, they head over to the giving plate. Now continue the story.
Okay, so then they get to the giving plate and they run into this gal that I was that I talked with on Sunday. Okay, so she's got a torn meniscus. And so this gal who just experienced healing just said, "We're going to pray. Let's just pray. This is what just happened to me. We're going to pray." So she and then
let's go.
another gal at the giving plate kind of bend down, and they get down and they just start laying hands on her and praying for her. And she experienced healing as well. And it was like in that moment. And she starts, you know, getting on her knee and like moving testing it, like it. Testing yes. it. Like, this is my knee is my meniscus Praise is God. Healed. And she's telling me this story on Sunday with just the biggest grin on her face. And she's like, I can't believe this.
Hallelujah.
And she's in church and she's giving glory to God. And it was just the coolest story. So I guess it's, first of all, these healings, they're happening over and over.
Yes.
I mean, give...
Talk
about that.
First, let's just testify. If you're listening to this podcast right now and not shouting amen or hallelujah or giving thanks to God, these are real healings. We don't need to give any proof to it. We just have to see that we have a God that heals. The only thing stopping us from that is us. God is able. He can. He will do it. We're seeing it all over. Two Sundays ago, I got stopped by a gal in the lobby. I'm just getting coffee, doing my thing, and a gal stops me, pulls me aside, introduces herself to me. Now, that happens pretty regularly. She shares with me, I've been coming for 2 years. This church has changed my life. And she goes on to share with me that she had a hip surgery. She didn't have family around. She reached out to the church. Some people from the church came and prayed over her. She was thankful for that. And then she explained they prayed for her and she had such expedited healing, it didn't make sense. And she explained to me, she's like, since I've been at this church, I've had so many healings happen. She's like, I've never experienced this in my life. She's like, I love this place. And she looked at me, she's like, I love you. Thank you for doing this. And, you know, and I've told you this year, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me through other people, allowing me to be present to hear so many people thank me for what God's doing. And it is such an honor, and it is so humbling, because you and I have nothing to do with it.
No,
I'm not the doing any of this. I'm not the one healing. And in fact, I'm blown away as anybody else is.
Yeah.
And here she is thanking me. And I just prophesied over her and said, what you're sharing with me, I pray happens to every person here. Because her faith was so lit up and strong and moving forward because of what God has done.
Yeah.
And this is just happening, reoccurring over and over and
yeah.
over again.
Yeah. It's really wild. I mean, yeah. All glory to God.
Amen. And you know, friends, it's not about the healings. Like, Jesus did not come to this earth just so we would celebrate signs and wonders. Often when he would heal someone, he would tell them, don't go out and tell anyone, you know, or he would instruct them to walk in obedience, go serve God, go tell the priest what happened. It's not about healings. It's not about signs and wonders. It's about transformed lives. It's about yeah. what God's doing, building his church.
Right.
It's about his kingdom come and his will to be done. And his will is not that we would operate in sickness, not that we would operate in oppression, but that we would be set free, that he would mend the brokenhearted. I mean, let me just share just a couple of more stories. I've got to just testify to the goodness of God. Several come to mind, but one happened at our staff meeting. We heard about these two women who are lesbian and they're in a married relationship, legally married, sharing the same last name. I'm going to do the best job I can telling the story third hand, but God is moving in Central Oregon and he's just getting started. We've been praying about it for a very long time. We've been prophesying it out loud. Central Oregon shall be saved. And listen to how God works. You got two women who are in a married relationship and they live in Prineville. So this is far from Bend, you know, it's not exactly even in our city. But here's what happens. One day they're talking in their living room and that discussion led them to prayer. So here they are in their living room praying. The presence of God shows up. They didn't need to be in church. They didn't need a pastor. They didn't need a program. The presence of God shows up because God loves both of these women. And they had decided that the lifestyle that they're living or whatever they're doing right now is not the place that God wants them to be. And that same week that happens, one of them comes to Journey Church.
Right.
Drives a great distance, you know, 45 minutes to come to church that same weekend, signs both of them up for Rooted, a discipleship experience of what it means to follow Jesus. Now, come on. the presence of God is moving in such a powerful way. He's meeting people in their living rooms.
Yeah.
I mean, this, he's been doing this through the ages.
Yeah.
I mean, he meets with people in dreams. He meets with people on a journey on a donkey. I mean, he met with Paul. He knocked him off his high horse. I mean, there's so many different times God meets us in a million different ways. But we are witnessing, I feel like, Bible times. Old and New Testament times.
I agree.
We are seeing God work.
Yeah.
I mean, can I just share another story?
Yes, please.
You fill in the gaps here where you want. We, on Christmas Eve this year, we decided at all four services to do Guerrilla Love.
Yeah.
Guerrilla Love is when you love people and they least expect it. Instead of warfare, we said, let's apply this to love. Let's just take the principles of war and apply it to love. And so what happens when you love people when they least expect it? So each service, we ask people if they were in a financial need and if it's their first time. And then I just relied on the Lord to pick one person at each service to come forward and just receive $1,000 cash. And it was really fun, Kara.
Yeah, it was so fun.
I mean, every single person was weeping as we gave it to them. And every single one gave me a hug. And so we did that all four services. The first service, the person that came up, she was all by herself. She was dressed really nicely. She's a young adult. And she comes up and she's weeping. She tells us her name and we give her the money. And at the end of the service, here's the best part of this. Not only did she get $1,000 cash, she gave her life to Jesus.
Yeah, so good.
Now that happened on Christmas Eve. That's now almost a month ago. I never heard the end of that story because, you know, she got saved. I knew some people talked to her. That's about it. Well, we decided this year to lead a rooted group. So we are rooted facilitators. And lo and behold, who ends up in our rooted group?
Which I didn't even realize until, I don't know, we were talking about it the next day or something. I'm like, oh, that's her.
Come on.
And what triggered it was that, well, her name, first of all. But she also said in the rooted group, because we just launched it this week, we all introduced ourselves and gave a little bit of just about ourselves. And she said that she had been coming since Christmas Eve.
Come on,
so
somebody.
Then I was like,
it was
oh,
her first service.
It was her first service.
Gives her life to Jesus.
Yeah.
Now she's in a small group learning what it means to be a disciple.
Yeah.
And I am just blown away with how God's working.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I mean, we're seeing the fruit of here's what it means to make disciples of all the nations. Can we talk about all the nations?
Yes, let's talk about all the nations.
Oh, man. I may have said this on podcasts before, but I won't assume that you remember anything I've said on these podcasts. But several years ago, it was prophesied over my life that I should ask for the nations.
Yeah.
And it was in a very difficult, dark time. But this prophetess who's in our church, and she wouldn't call herself a prophetess, but I have no shame of calling her that because she speaks the word of God in a very powerful way. And she told me during this time, Keith, ask for the nations. I believe the Lord's telling you, ask for the nations. Well, I went to the scriptures and I found so many scriptures that support this. In fact, many of them I wrote in the margins of my Bible. When we see this, I put that phrase, ask for the nations. But the truth is, I was so broken that year. It was the year 2022. I was so broken. I didn't actually have the faith to believe what that meant.
Yeah.
Like I knew it intellectually in my head. I knew God can do anything. Mm. I was humbled and profounded by the thought to ask for the nations. I received it in my heart. Like Mary said, she treasured those things in her heart.
Yeah.
So I treasured it, but I really can't say that I wanted to operate in it because I didn't know if I could believe I could ask God for that. It just felt too big. Like, not me, God. I'm not sure that could happen. Well, over the years, we have so many people from so many different nations in our church. All kinds of nations that represent the continent of Africa. People that represent different Asian nations. People that represent different Spanish-speaking nations. All over the Americas. And then God sent us so many different families from the Ukraine, which just started to reshift because we saw them operating in the gifts. We saw healings from these families. We saw evangelism. We just saw the heart of Jesus through them. And then this week happened. Mm-hmm. And this was a turning point for me. And this is why I say 2025 for me has been so eye-awakening with God. I feel like, Kara, whenever I've walked into a meeting or into a space or place in 2025, my expectations of God have been too small.
Yeah.
Comes back to that question that Landon asked. What was that question he asked?
Yeah, are you underestimating Jesus?
Are you underestimating Jesus? Yeah. And the short answer to that is every single time, yes.
Yeah.
And but yet God's given me a revelation, because every time I walk out of a meeting or a space or a place, I mean, even out of my runs this year, I feel like God's meeting with me in a tangible way. So I had a meeting scheduled. The meeting had been scheduled for a few weeks. I had a Spanish-speaking church reach out and say, we are a Spanish-speaking church, and we've outgrown our home, and we are looking for a place to meet. Could we meet to discuss possibly using your church for meeting space? I politely wrote back and said, oh, I'm excited for you guys being a church, and but our building's used quite a bit, so we probably are not going to be able to accommodate, but how about we meet, and at least we could meet in person and talk? In my mind, I was just being courteous.
Right.
I wanted to meet another church in town to see what God's doing, just to at least network and know about a Spanish-speaking church. I was prepared to let them down gently because we are a busy church, and it is used many different days of the week and night. So it's like, this probably isn't going to work. Well, they show up, and it's the lead pastors, and it's two pastors in training, and then they had brought an interpreter. An interpreter that doesn't go to their church. They had hired her to come. An interpreter, by the way, friends, who this is her first time ever interpreting for a church. Typically, she does doctor appointments, hospital visits, and schools, like, you know, tangible things, like where she needs to represent somebody. But here she is. And I'll tell you, Carol, we went deep fast. I mean, like from a 0 to 100, the Holy Spirit was with them. I knew right away when we went through the normalcies of introductions and, you know, greeting. And then they just kindly asked, do you mind if we open up in prayer? And they had brought one of those little speakers, you know, like a portable speaker, a JBL speaker. And then they put some worship music on and started praying.
Oh, wow.
And then the interpreter is interpreting the prayer.
Oh, my goodness. The worship music on.
Yes.
Wow.
And I was just, they put it in English, undoubtedly, to honor us.
Yeah.
And it was like instantly church, instantly the presence of God. It was so emotional, but it wasn't just emotional. It's like when the presence of God shows up, sometimes it's emotional, but it's deeper than that. You don't want to just say it's feelings, because the presence of God moves you. And it was moving. And we hadn't even started our meeting.
Yeah.
And I had brought in another pastor on staff, Pastor Noah, who does our outreach locally and more. And so I wanted him to be there. And both of us encountered the presence of God.
Yeah.
So then we're getting to know each other, and we thought the interpreter was with this church. And that's when we found out, no, she was hired to come in and be an interpreter. And so even halfway in this meeting, it shifted when we discovered that the interpreter wasn't with them. It was like, oh, you're not with the church. Okay. Mm. You know, and then we asked, well, do you go to church? And she's like, oh, I'm Catholic. Yes. Mm. You know, and then we probed, and their pastor started probing and asking, you know, well, what, do you go to mass, and what does that look like? And she was a little embarrassed, you know, because here we all are, a bunch of pastors talking about very, very spiritual things, the Holy Spirit and Jesus and, you know, transformation. And she was humbled, and, you know, she hasn't been going lately and so forth. And by the end of the meeting, Kara, it was so clear God was in this, and he's going to use this as a partnership, and it's going to be powerful.
Yeah.
So,
well, and you told us a pursuit last night. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead and share the story.
Well, according to what you said, I was not involved in this, but I just got to hear the beautiful story that the interpreter got saved.
Yes. So the pastor just kindly let me know. He sent me a text, and he says, thanks for meeting. We are so honored, blessed, and grateful. And then he said, before we left the parking lot, she got saved.
That's
she gave
so
her
cool.
life to Jesus. Yeah. That was his words. She gave her life to Jesus. And these people, they're from all over the place. Many of them are refugees. The lead pastors are refugees from Colombia. And they're so heartfelt. They've been called to be here, maybe in a foreign land where they don't understand the language. But wherever they go, they had shared with me, I don't think you heard this testimony, but they had gone to the bank either that day or earlier in the week, and was with a Spanish-speaking banker, a teller, and the banker had a hole in his head. And they had asked him questions about it, like how it happened and what that looked like. And they had prayed for him at the bank in front of everyone at the
bank.
And he was healed at the bank.
Wow.
This is this week.
Yeah, that's so
crazy. In our city.
Yeah.
Happening right now in our times. Like, what are you going to do? Deny that God's not moving and working?
No, I agree.
So we invited them to Pursuit Night last night.
Yeah.
And we invited them even up at the end of the service to pray over them. And then they prayed. And I thought it was powerful. What did you think of
it was super powerful.
Pastor Wallen's
prayer? Yeah. We had a wonderful, family in our church. Actually, he interpreted for them.
God.
So we
yes.
got to actually understand the prayer. And it was really powerful. It just felt very anointed. Like the people that were there were just so excited.
Amen.
I mean, it's hard to describe like a Holy Spirit moment. It
because
really
there's
is.
Chemistry. There's
yeah.
energy.
Yeah.
You can feel it, but you know, it's more than a feeling that's
yeah.
what you're
yeah.
describing.
Like the Holy Spirit really moved last night.
Yes.
And that was one example of it. But, just what a cool, there's a staff person that is newer on staff that she's just told me over and over, like, I've never had this much anticipation for a year that I have in 2025 that God's going to move.
Come on.
And she means it. And I believe that.
I believe it too, because I'm experiencing it.
Yeah. And those are the stories that we're telling. And I'm, prayerfully, I think we're just at the very beginning of being able to tell these stories.
Come on.
That God's going to do in 2025. And it's like, who can understand, God, but this is awesome.
Yes.
Like there's so much spiritual fruit that we're seeing.
Amen.
I mean, one of the things that those Spanish speaking people came
yes.
and told you was that they had checked out other churches. And
mm-hmm.
this is not a negative thing about other churches, but they just said when they came here,
this is heartbreaking what they experienced.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead. You say,
well,
they told you,
I'm just going to be blunt and I don't mean to bash the bride of Christ. We all have our faults, including Journey Church and Ben. We all have areas we can grow
yes.
in. But what they experienced is as they were praying for a location, they had visited numerous churches. And although they don't understand the language, they can sense what God is doing
yeah.
and just what they're experiencing. And in their own verbiage, they said there was no power. There was no spirit.
At some of the other churches. Right.
But when they came to Journey, instantly they said
yeah.
they knew the Holy Spirit was there.
Yeah.
That was the same phrase that we got from the Ukrainians
yeah.
who accidentally came to church.
Mm-hmm.
They were on their way to Goodwill
yeah.
and saw that there was a church there
right.
and didn't even know if it was a Bible-based,
right.
Jesus-believing,
yeah.
following church. They took a risk, came in, and they said they walked in the doors, and they didn't even need to start the church service. They said the Holy Spirit was there.
Yeah.
And these Spanish-speaking believers who are pastors, that's exactly what they said.
Yeah.
And then they came to a church service. We found out last night, I'm not sure if you caught that through what they were sharing, the first time they tried to come to a church service here was the Sabbath Sunday when we had no church.
Oh, no, I didn't catch that.
Yeah,
oh, bummer.
They said that, maybe that was after church we were talking. Oh, it was after church.
Okay, I didn't hear them
say
that.
It wasn't from the platform. Never mind.
Oh, that's too
bad. It was
bad.
After church.
That's the hard part about doing a Sabbath
yeah,
Sunday, right?
Yeah, but you know what? They came back the next week,
mm-hmm.
and they did come back, and they were so kind and courteous. It was
yeah.
so sweet.
Yeah.
And they came, and they sensed the Holy Spirit. And then in his prayer, he said he came and he saw what was happening here. And he said in his own heart, this was in his prayer, he said, Lord, I looked around at this church and I said, who am I? I'm so small. I'll never be able
yeah.
to do anything great like this or have a place in a church like this.
Mm.
That's what
yeah.
he shared. And then he says, and Lord, look at where I am now.
Yeah.
And he was on the platform praying. And
right.
the people were just receiving this.
Oh, yeah.
As this,
it was powerful.
Because the Bible tells us, James says, God takes the humble and he exalts them.
Yeah.
He lifts them up. That
yeah.
all God is asking for is a surrendered heart.
Yeah, amen.
We don't have to be the most talented or the most qualified.
Yes, absolutely.
The most gifted. We don't even have to speak the same language.
Yeah.
If you just show up and humble yourself,
yeah.
God
Amen.
Lifts you up.
I agree.
And regarding this, and we can, I know we're short on time today. We didn't tell our listeners that, but this church, they're all on a 40-day of prayer and fasting.
Yeah.
We're on a 21-day of prayer and fasting. We did 40 days last year, but when we do this, we typically ask people to fast from one thing. Some people fast from sugar, some people fast from alcohol, some social media. So, I mean, a whole gauntlet of different things, some television. And this church, they're praying and fasting from food. They are all in. And when you hear the humility of believers taking this serious, it feels like when I'm interacting with them, I'm teleported to a different country.
Yeah.
Because in places like Uganda and Mexico,
yeah,
they have the sincerity of their faith. They take God so seriously. Yeah,
totally.
I feel like we're weak in our faith in the Western world. Yeah, it's humbling and it's honoring to see people take their faith so seriously, because we make excuses. Oh, I couldn't because of work or because of this reason. But what we saw Jesus do, we see so many other people doing, including this amazing church. So,
yeah.
Hey, stay tuned, everyone, because I believe God has begun an incredible relationship there,
yeah.
A partnership. And God said, ask for the nations, and God has brought the nations to Journey Church.
He is.
And he's going to do more.
Yeah, I agree.
We're going to see the world change.
Yeah. And I mean, we have a huge, we have a pretty large Spanish speaking community here in Bend.
Yes.
So just to be able to partner with them to reach people that we are not reaching, mm-hmm. That's just a beautiful partnership.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
You're right. Cause we couldn't reach them, but they can.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I'm all in.
And why
whatever
not?
That looks
Let's
like.
Go.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the year of taking God at his word.
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember before the new year, I just kept saying to you, and now I've said it dozens of times, this is the year of mountain moving faith.
Yeah.
We declare to that mountain be moved. And yeah. Jesus said it will be moved.
Yes.
So we've got to say it and we've got to experience it.
And believe it.
And believe it. And
yeah.
He's imparted that to me, where I have been declaring since last March. So we're almost going on 1 year of declaring Central Oregon shall be saved. It was coming off the heels of Pastor Jim Cobray passing away.
Yeah.
And he used to declare in faith tens of thousands of times over his lifetime, the Inland Empire shall be saved. His church was in San Bernardino. It was in the heart of the Inland Empire. And he believed it. And he saw tens and tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, Kara, in his lifetime, probably hundreds of thousands of people give their lives to Jesus.
Probably.
I mean, incredible man of faith that grew a mega church, did incredible things. And so I felt like in his passing, there was a mantle
mm-hmm.
that passed that I've got to declare that over this region, Central Oregon shall be saved. Well, last week, as I was just sharing with the staff about taking God at his word, we either believe the Bible or we don't.
Yeah, absolutely.
You read the Gospels and read what Jesus did. He preached the gospel, he healed the sick, and he cast out demons. And then he said, you will do greater things than these.
Yeah.
So do we believe that or not?
Right.
I don't want to play games.
Yeah.
And so I just asked the staff to take this seriously
because
I'm going there.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do it alone.
Yeah.
And I don't want to just be criticized for, like, what happened to Keith? He became weird. But if we're weird together, if we're taking God right? his word together, and so God's like giving us this greater revelation that Oregon shall be saved.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't we be praying for our governor to be saved? Why wouldn't we pray for our representative? Why wouldn't we pray for the houseless? Why wouldn't we pray for the least of these, the addicts? Why wouldn't we pray every pot shop in town be shut down?
Yeah.
Just as in Ephesus, the idol shops were shutting down.
Yeah.
Why
Amen.
Wouldn't we take God at his word?
Because we underestimate Jesus.
We underestimate Jesus. So this is the year that we've got to go and experience the love of Jesus in such a way that we can't help but love like Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely.
It changes everything.
It does. Changes everything.
And I'm believing for more in so many different ways, because every time I've walked in a room this year, it just appears that I've underestimated Jesus.
Yeah.
And God has shown me.
Yeah.
It's like he's showing me, like, I can do more than you've asked. I am doing more than you see.
Yeah.
And I love you more than you know.
Yeah.
And so this is not the time for us to go back to old habits, to be plateaued, to do things as normal.
Right.
We're closer to Jesus' second coming than we were yesterday.
Yep.
So let's be ready.
Yeah.
Let's have oil in our lamps. Yep. Let's have a holy expectation he's coming.
Amen. Amen. I'm on board for that.
Let's go, Kara.
Let's go.
I'm excited. This is a year of health as well.
Yeah.
We're going to be healthy physically, emotionally, relationally, and spiritually.
Yes.
Just in every single way. Take God at his word. It's a good time. We've started the year through the Bible again.
Yes.
Come on. Are you enjoying
great.
That?
Which is great. I am.
Let's go.
Reading.
Never gets old.
No, it doesn't. Because he gives us, like, he just gives us new insight and new revelation even after, you know, reading the same thing that you've read many, many, many times. But he just takes us from glory to glory.
Come on.
So I'm honored that I can even do it. Like,
I'm so thankful.
Friends. Yeah.
You know, it's never too late to get into the Bible and start a plan to read through the Bible in a year.
No.
If you start right now, yeah, you're going to read through the Bible year by January 17th.
Right.
So many people think you got to wait another year to get in the Bible. So, friends, get in the Word of God. That's how you'll be changed.
Yeah, totally.
I shared at church a few weeks ago, maybe it was last month even. It was when I was trying to get people to get into the year through the Bibles right before the new year. And I actually saw a study that said if you get in the Bible one day a week, it actually will have minimal to no impact. It really doesn't do much to get in the Bible once a week. So if all you're doing is getting in the Bible at church, it's not really changing your life.
Yeah.
You get in the Bible twice a week, it's minimal impact. Yeah. It'll make a minimal change. You get in the Bible three times a week, and actually you start to see change. It's not a huge impact, but it actually, there will be change in your life. Now, here's where the real impact came. Four or more times a week. Four or more times a week, studies have shown your life will start to be changed. It will impact your life. So therefore, reading the Bible five, six, even seven times a week, it'll start to change your life.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll change the way you think. Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that not to be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That renewal happens naturally.
Yeah.
And that's why we get in the Word daily. And I always love it when we do it together because stuff sticks out and I get to talk to you about it and say, oh man, Kara, this is what God's doing. What about this verse? And you're like, me too.
Yeah.
You know, it just happened today.
Yeah. And the beauty of it too, is that it just, it sinks into your heart. Like the more you wash with it, yourself with it and learn it and memorize scripture and it just sinks into your heart and it changes you.
Yes.
Like I just think that, we live in this, very educated world that we often go to things like the Bible to the Bible specifically to learn. And I think what this is teaching me is that the more and more I get into it, the more it goes from my head to my heart.
Come on, somebody.
And then that's when real transformation happens. Mm. It's not just understanding it, but it's actually like letting it sink in and putting it into practice.
Yes.
And that's where glory to glory happens.
It changes everything.
Yes.
When you take God at his word.
Yes. And you it believe it.
Everything.
Like, do I believe what the Bible says?
Because you got to do something about it. That's called obedience.
Yes.
And if you don't be in obedience, it's just hiding in your head. And the word says in Psalm 119 that how can a young man keep his way pure but to hide God's word in his heart?
Yeah.
And if it's not in your heart, you will sin. You will go back to old patterns. You'll go back to old.
Yeah.
So you've got to use it, as Ephesians 6 says. It's got to become your weapon like a sword, but it's a spoken word.
Yeah.
For it to be a spoken word, it's got to be in your heart.
Yeah.
That's the rhema. It means the spoken word of God, and it does change everything. It's time to armor up because as God advances, Kara, the enemy advances.
Yes, it's true. We've seen it over and over and over.
That's where we started this podcast. I said, man, all it's been is good. Then I reflected back and said, oh no, actually no, the enemy has pressed in as we're advancing and the violent take it by force as we're taking the kingdom of God back, which is already ours, utilizing what God's given us. The enemy has tried to come in.
He is
tricky. He's not a creator, so there's nothing new that he's doing. But as you go forth, you got to be ready and willing to recognize there's a real enemy.
Yes.
So our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against other people. Our battle is against a real enemy. So we got to fight the fight and do it well, friends.
And oftentimes it comes when you don't expect it from someone you don't expect, from someone that's right alongside you someone in the church. Whoa, wasn't expecting that one.
That's the truth. And that's hard. It might be somebody you love or somebody you live with or somebody you've been doing life with, work with, whatever that looks like. And you got to realize it. Your battle's not them, but you still have to fight the battle.
Yes.
You can't just hope it's going to turn out okay.
Right.
You got to pray about it. You got to ask God for wisdom, revelation, get into his word, and then you got to step in obedience.
Yes.
You got to have hard conversations. We've talked about elephants in the room. You got to address it and bring it before God and go to those deeper places and see God work. And when that happens, intimacy happens.
Yeah.
Connection happens.
Yeah.
God gets to work. Let God be God this year.
Yes.
Well, friends, we're a little short on time today. It's might be a shorter podcast, but hopefully we infused you with some inspiration.
Right.
Revelation 12 warns us that if we want to overcome the enemy, the accuser, it is by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So we got to testify to what God's doing.
Yes, we do.
We had to at least get on here to testify to what he's doing. We hope to be a little more consistent this year, but my friends, we're grateful and honored and blessed that you would just take a moment to spend some time with us. We really count you as friends. So thank you for your encouragement. Let's see what God will do this year. Take Absolutely. God at his word.
Yes.
Hey, let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for this time. And now I just ask in Jesus' name that not only would you be glorified by what we've shared, but your church would be edified, built up for your purpose. So I ask in Jesus' name that you would do more, that you would bless those listening right now, that they would take you at your word, that they would be strong and courageous, that wherever they go, you go as well.
Yeah.
So may they lay hands on the sick and expect, God, that you heal. May they rebuke the enemy where he's oppressing those who you've come to set free. God, may we take you at your word and get to witness you work in mighty ways. I know it comes with some intimidation because we're doing things we've never done before, but God, you always show up. So for that, we thank you in advance. We thank you for what you've done, and even more, we thank you for what you're going to do. It's going to be good, God. It's a good year. We thank you. You're a God of new beginnings, new mercies. So may our lives be a new song. May we be doing new things for you. So God, I love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody. Shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us on The Journey of Confessions of a Pastor. Please hit subscribe and rate. We are better together. See you next time.